Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
Fat Mandy.
Brian Edward.
Jazz, cosmic jazz chanteuse. Does that do it justice?
C'est la vérité. That is what they have called me.
To say that you're a jazz artist, I mean, that's a pretty broad term. But even
and
so.
And not true if you talk to half of my musicians.
Oh, really?
It's a complete farce.
Yeah.
They're cool with me calling myself a cabaret jazz artist or a cabaret jazz vocalist.
You know, I think that you really push the boundaries of that genre, and hence the prefix cosmic.
That's true. I play in a lot of unexpected places, and I do a lot of non-traditional music. I do write more recently, and I've always sung original songs by my friends and local composers, like Christiana D. and Coulter Harper, and Tony DePaulis is my arranger. So we do a lot of original material. And I like more eclectic covers. Like I like more. I've learned as many standards as I could fit in here, but I like the more eclectic ones. And I also like multilingual music. Mm-hmm. I used to go to an international summer camp when I was very young, and so we always were singing in French and Spanish and
Frère
Russian.
Jacques, and, yeah.
Frère Jacques, wait. Je peux chanter Frère Jacques si vous voudrez.
Well, that's not how I learned it. All I know is Frère Jacques,
dormez-vous, dormez-vous, sommez le matin, sommez le matin, din-dan-don, din-dan-don.
Now see, I can open for you with that maybe. Keep that, just, you know, I'm just throwing that out there.
We got to get our duo act together.
We do, we need to, we're behind on that.
We're going to take it on the road. You didn't call me for the auditions for Amish Burlesque.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. You would be great as Goody Plenty in Amish Burlesque.
It's not too late.
I know.
We're still here.
We've got to talk to people about that.
There's people that need to be talked to and you're out there.
A Brian Edward Fat Man D collabo.
A collabo, that is the thing to do. 2015 is the year of the collabo.
It would blow this city away.
It would blow something away.
Which you have done successfully year after year. I view you as a Pittsburgh icon. I do.
Aw.
You must hear that.
I do. It's always weird.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm calcified. You know, like I don't know how to take that.
Well, I think it is a great tribute to your originality.
Well, thank you. That's kind of you to say.
Let me ask you, where, how, and when was Fat Mandy born?
I was born by the river in a circus tent. Fat Mandy was born. I used to be Sister Master of the Fist Masticating Arts. That was my stage name. When I first dropped out of college and came back to Pittsburgh, I went to Allegheny College. Mm-hmm. For like a year and a half. And then I dropped out and came back home to perform and work with local poets and sideshow marvels.
And what was the name of that organization?
The first troupe I used to work with was the Bull Seal Collective.
Oh, okay. But you said before that?
But my stage name within the Bull Seal Collective was the Sister Master of the Fist Masticating Arts.
Now, are they a nonprofit?
No, that was my role. Okay. That was my role. I was the Sister Master. And my speciality is the fist masticating arts.
Now, is that something that you could describe on film?
I could just do it, but like afterwards, like for the outro, because I was going to mess up my makeup. And that's, you know, like, just, you know, to we'll maintain save. The face for now.
We'll save that for later. Then. Very good.
Yeah. Before that, I did try to be a legitimate actress. I worked with all the greats. I worked with Ted Hoover.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Well, now, why did you not pursue that? Because, you've got a great stage presence, because I've seen you perform, and I think that would translate very well to the dramatic stage.
I enjoy it. I really do. I did do a theatrical piece. My last theatrical serious piece was in 2009 at Teatro Zanzani in San Francisco. I did, like, a month-long run of a sold-out new rock opera called How to Survive the Apocalypse, a burning opera, which was a huge cast. It was, like, 45 people, and it was all mostly Burning Man attendees, and it was about the experience of going to Burning Man, and I had a phenomenal time. We were workshopping, and it was being written, you know, up until, like, the third performance, but I was out west for 3 months, and I had a wonderful time. I do enjoy it. It doesn't really pay. Not that singing pays any better, but, like, I do a gig. When you do theater, you have to invest some serious time into that. I have so much respect for actors and actresses and the people in the serious theatrical arts, but you have to dedicate months and months to, like, this one thing, and you're not being yourself. You're a vessel for someone else's creative vision, and you bring what you can to it you're not just like a meat puppet. You're not just like a flesh suit for someone else's dream, but it is somebody else's words. It's somebody else's thing. Whereas I just like the ultimate freedom of being able to, like, decide my own set list. I want to sing these songs. This is happening in the world right now. This is how the audience is feeling. They want this. They want that. Like, there is no freedom like that.
That's true.
In a theatrical realm. So I enjoy picking my own music and calling the musicians I want to call and calling the burlesque dancers that I want to work with. And, you know, I don't have that. I'm also a control freak. Like, I don't. Like, you can only have control over who the casting director calls, and then you're with them for months.
That's true.
So it's just like, eh.
You are blissfully free.
Totally. Yeah, and I get money sometimes.
This is why Fat Mandy is cosmic. You know?
I try. Yeah. Multilingual, multispatial.
Do you feel that we are alone in the universe?
No, absolutely not. That would be so. The hubris. Of thinking we're the only sentient, cognizant life form in the universe, much less on the planet.
Right.
You know, there's so many people, there's so many souls in the animal planet that, you know, they have their own ways of going about things, and to think that we're the only intelligent species on the planet, much less the universe, is just too much to consider.
I saw a new theory out recently that is challenging the Big Bang, and they are saying that, well, that may not have happened, that the universe just always was. And it's almost difficult to comprehend. I don't know.
I wasn't there. So
where was your invitation?
It wasn't me.
But your art certainly takes us to places that may challenge our Star Trek. Are you a fan?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, we could. If you want to go in for some B-roll, I could show you my collection of Star Trek animated VHS tapes.
And now, is that something...
Oh, my Rose is in a... She can't take much more of this, Captain.
Now, that might be something that a lot of people don't know about Fat Mandy, is that she appreciates Star Trek.
Oh, no.
Or do they? You...
When I was 13 years old, I was convinced that after my bus mitzvah, I was going to take all the money that I made at my bus mitzvah and spend it on changing my name to Faith Spock.
So Spock is your favorite?
I actually met Leonard Nimoy once.
Oh, yeah?
It was a strange, strange day in Los Angeles. I was there. What was I even there for? Oh, I was opening up for this wonderful blues artist named Candy Kane. We did the Southwest tour. And we were in Los Angeles, and I was running around town with my cousin, John, who lives there, John Alloway, and... we were just tootling about town, and we went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, and Flava Flav came in. And it was just before he made his big comeback with all those reality TV shows. Yeah, yeah. And so everybody was like, Flava Flav, Flava Flav, Flava Flav. And I was like, why is everybody talking about Flava Flav? And they're like, he just walked in. And I turned around. And I was like, oh, it's Flava Flav. And so, you know, I was young. I didn't know it was inappropriate to just run up to people and give them your CD. So when he was in a break from his conversation, I just ran up to him. I was like, Mr. Flav, I'm just such a big fan of your work.
Mr. Flav, yes.
And I was like, it would be so much, such an honor if you would just listen to my CD. I hope you like it. And I just gave it to him. Whether he listened to it, I have no idea. He never called.
Well, was he gracious about it, at least?
Yeah, he kind of looked at me like I was weird. And I was bald. I had pigtails at the time,
But it's Flavor Flav. That's your basis for comparison.
And then later that day at the show, I saw Ron Jeremy, because he is a fan of Candy Canes, because she used to be in the adult film industry, I believe. And she's an amazing singer. If you haven't had a chance to check out her work, you should. Candy Cane. Well, she's won so many awards.
Her musical work, let's specify.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure her theatrical work was pleasurable as well. I make no judgments.
Indeed.
But he apparently is a fan of hers, so I met him at the gig. And that was, and I said, oh, Mr. Jeremy, it's such a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I'm really just, I've always been a big fan of your work. And I gave him my CD, because I'm trying to, make a name. He never called either. Later that night, Leonard Nimoy was there, because he also was a fan of Candy Canes.
What a day.
It was a really intense day. It was a really intense day for little Fat Mandy in Hollywood. It was very exciting. But Leonard Nimoy was there with his wife and some friends at a big table, and Candy had modeled for him, and a lot of the girls in the troupe that I was with at the time, the Fat Bottom Girls Burlesque Review from San Francisco, it was all larger size. He had done a huge photo shoot with them, because he had this whole Zoftig big girl photo. He's a fairly serious photographer. And so he just had a photo shoot with them. I wasn't invited because they didn't know who I was, and it's fine. But I met Leonard Nimoy, and I was just tongue-tied. I wasn't able to say, Mr. Nimoy, I'm such a huge fan. And I just like,
And how did he take that?
He seemed to enjoy the show. I don't know. He never called either. I don't know. I'm still waiting for Flava Flav and
Jeremy
and Leonard Nimoy to call me back.
They're just catching up on things. They're busy. But Pittsburgh's been a pretty good.
We're popping. People loving the Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They're finally seeing what we've been telling them all along. The Pittsburgh's got it going on.
Do you feel that in any way Fat Mandy's personality in Pittsburgh reflect each other at all?
Oh gosh, poor Pittsburgh. I hope they have a good therapist. I don't know. I've always loved Pittsburgh. I've always been thrilled to be here. Like, I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. I used to tour with a circus inspired sideshow punk rock extravaganza, and I did the country for years. And that's actually when Fat Mandy was born, getting back to your earlier question, is I needed to tour, and Sister Masters of the Fist Masticating Arts wasn't hanging. Nobody could remember that. So my friend David Apocalypse, who taught me how to eat glass and pound spikes in my face and do the straitjacket escape.
It's always good to have those talents hanging around on a resume. You never know.
This one time in Mercy Hospital. Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, he called me Mr. Sister Fat Mandy to go with my half man, half woman act, because that's what I did in the show. I did like a half man, half woman. I'd sing like love songs to myself. And I played my...
Sounds like a regular Friday night to me.
Well, I played my cello in the sideshow punk rock band, because my mother would not let me take my bas mitzvah money and spend the money that I made on my bas mitzvah on changing my name to Faith Spock. She did let me buy a cello, however. So I took my cello on the road. I'm playing this 200-year-old Bavarian cello with the punk rock, like ding, 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 in the half-man, half-woman suit. And that was the birth of Fat Mandy.
Wow.
Was playing cello in a punk rock band starving across America.
Now, Mandy's look has changed a little bit over the years. She's morphed a little, but it's always very, the makeup's always gorgeous. How crucial is that to, your performance, the face?
Oh, John Waters once said you needed to pick a look and stick to it. I only heard that last year, but I think he's right, because that's what I've always done. I learned my makeup evolved from stuff I had seen other burlesque and sideshow performers do. And then I met this really influential drag queen in Minneapolis in 1997 at the Gay 90s named Carmela Marcela Garcia, who taught me how to do the glitter lips. And I've just maintained. We actually, at most gigs, I'll spend, after the show, I'll spend half the time talking about how to do the lips than I will actually spend speaking about the music or who wrote it or who arranged it or selling CDs. They really just want to hear about the lips.
Yeah, like what's your like makeup budget on average for a month? Like, my God.
I'm actually, you know what? I get around that I'm actually a Mary Kay beauty consultant.
Well, that is a perfect marriage, isn't it?
Because if you'd like to book a party with Fat Mandy, just send me an email through my website, fatmandy.com, and say I want to book a Mary Kay party. I'll come to your house. I'll bring the samples. We'll have a little facial. We'll discuss beauty.
I mean, I have no use for makeup, but I would do that because that would probably be the most entertaining evening
I can imagine. That's what we should do after you're done with this show that you're working on, the Lunch Lady Cabaret. Yeah. Then we need to, because that one girl did that Tupperware show. That was hugely popular. Yeah. She sold a ton of Tupperware. I don't even think it was a girl. Whatever. That was beautiful. I think if I did like a Mary Kay at the Casino
You'll be driving
Cabaret,
that pink Cadillac in no time.
My roommate, Christiana D., her mother is my Mary Kay beauty director, and she had a Mary Kay car for years.
But I mean, I think you need to be there doing the Mary Kay party as, you know, Fat Man
as
D.
Exactly,
that's your performance,
myself, yes.
And people will
and work
buy.
In songs.
Oh my God!
Work in the songs and work in the burlesque dance, because I've been studying dance for the last 20 years. Oh, I work with an amazing crew of dancers and. We'll have the burlesque numbers.
We are on to something.
You know, and we'll have the makeup samples. I have like people can get, you know, samples at every table. We'll work that into the production budget, and we'll all have a facial as part of the performance. They can try the satin hands.
You would work every single night.
Would you help me write it? Because I am terrible at writing.
I would love to write for you. Are you kidding?
I'm so busy. I'm going to Puerto Rico next week. I'm trying to get to Europe this July. To sing at the World Body Painting Festival for my friend Foxy Moxie, and then travel the continent for a month with a videographer.
Well, yeah, let's talk about your upcoming travels, because I mean,
yeah, how long have we done? We've been like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You want to edit this for like next, like tomorrow.
No, it's fine. No, this is wonderful. So, you know, Pittsburgh adores you.
I adore Pittsburgh.
But you're looking to get away for a little bit.
I do. I don't want to leave Pittsburgh so much as I want to take Pittsburgh to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. My section of Pittsburgh. I don't claim to speak for all of Pittsburgh. There's a lot of Pittsburgh that has no idea who I am. And that's fine. You know, we do our thing. But I feel that I'm part of an extremely vibrant and diverse and what's the word I'm looking for? It's just such a... Our culture is so refined. Our music, our art, our performers, visual art, performance art. It's just... It's so... We've all been working on it. And the thing is, artists can live in Pittsburgh. It's not really that way. Like, I know so many artists in the Bay Area and in New York and in Chicago who are just, like, struggling to stay in these crappy little places because they can't afford it. But our economy, like... We've maintained. We're trying, you know, like people, you don't have, it's not that way for everybody yet. You know, it's not the most livable city for all of our citizens yet, but we're a lot better off than most.
It's true.
And we're working on making it better. You know, like, so I think artists here have had the time and the luxury to spend 20 years working with some people. You know, like I've been working, singing my roommate Christiana's songs. My first album was in 2002. It's 2015 now. You know, so I've had 15 years to work with her, you know, and, you know, all of my musicians that I play with, you know, they're, you know, they've been playing music in the Pittsburgh jazz scene for 40, 50 years. I want to take it out of town. Mm-hmm. So that's the name of my Kickstarter campaign is Get Fat Mandy Out of Town. And it is my goal to take my show, which includes what I consider to be the best of Pittsburgh jazz musicians and the best of Pittsburgh burlesque performers and sideshow marvels and variety entertainers, and eventually get us to Europe. And I've talked to people about, not just Europe, actually, I've had invitations from Mumbai and also from Ghana. And I'd like to go there too. And also, I'm going to Puerto Rico next week. I have a gig with my friend Henya. We're going to do a little thing. Mostly it's a girls' getaway, but we're going to squeeze a gig in there somewhere. And I'm going to shoot footage too. But anyhow, I've been told that I need to take my show to Europe first. And I've looked on the internet for agents, and I've looked under the internet for people that will help me get gigs. And I've asked friends of mine that have a ton of friends. It's not their thing. They don't know how to book entertainment. But I do know that there's a ton of Pittsburgh artists like Pooji Bell and Robbie Edwards and Tony DePaulis and people that just travel Europe, and they're gone for a month and a half, 2 months, and they come back with enough money to pay their rent or mortgage, because we're in Pittsburgh and we can buy houses.
Yes, indeed.
You know, it's a lot more easily, I should say. Not everybody in Pittsburgh can buy a house, but we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more easily than in Chicago or New York
or
San Francisco. So they come home with enough money to pay their bills for 6 months. But, you know, in Pittsburgh, as a jazz musician, it is difficult. It's difficult to make money here just to survive. You know, like music lessons cost me $45 an hour for, you know, 12 years, you know, going weekly. You know, I've spent over $10,000 each on one of my CDs, and I have four. This is my latest one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we want to show it.
Oh, absolutely. Fat Man D in the Cultural District.
I'm very excited about this.
Hey, Fat Chick, You Got It Coming to You is the title.
It's true. Do you want to hear a little bit? Should I sing it to you?
Oh, sure.
I'll just sing the chorus from Hey, Fat Chick.
Fat Chick, let's hear it.
Hey, Fat Chick, yes? You got it coming to you. Oh, I picked the wrong key. Hey, Fat Chick, yes? You got it coming to you. Hey, Fat Chick, what? You got it coming to you. Hey, Fat Chick, ow! You had it coming to you.
What a sample.
Thank you.
I tell you what, you know, we'll...
great horns, really great horns. I'm so pleased to work with the musicians that are... I don't mean to slap in your mic. I'm so happy to have so many great musicians to work with in Pittsburgh. So lucky. We're so blessed. So I'm going to go to Europe. This Kickstarter campaign, I need $16,000 to take me and a videographer and travel around Europe for a month. I'm going to sing songs from that new CD. All my music's on backing tracks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go super, like, low budget on this one, as far as, like, I can't bring the band and put the band in hotels and feed the band, because the band is, like, 8 people. And I'm going to go meet managers and meet clubs and meet festivals. I have a couple of solid gigs lined up, and I can line up more. But I have, like, 3 or 4 things that I'm going to go to, starting in Austria and ending in Malta. And I'm going to stop in Berlin and Munich and London and Paris.
I'll just make the rounds.
We're getting Eurail passes for the month.
It's
because of me and this videographer named Alistair McQueen, who I convinced to move to Pittsburgh. Because that's what I've been doing for Pittsburgh all these years, is I have been trying to tell all my friends that they need to move to Pittsburgh because we're awesome. Because you can live here and there's so many galleries and so many opportunities to perform. But you don't really make a lot of money here. But it doesn't cost as much money to be here. But I want it. So it's not really about the money so much as it is about spreading the message. But you need money to spread the message. So I'm going to go to Europe and make the acquaintances I need to make. And I need the money to get there. So that's why I'm doing a Kickstarter. Because I'm paying my bills. Obviously, I'm in a house. Luckily, blessedly, thank you to all the deities you may or may not believe in. I like them all. Praise Bob.
Very good. So we need to get on and contribute to this. I mean, sure, every little bit helps to get you where you need to go.
I have 3,000 Facebook fans on my Facebook Fat Mandy page. Mm. If every one of my fans gave me $20, this would be funded in, you know, I've already got $2,000. So I'm well, I'm past 10% of my goal at this point.
Let's do
and
it.
And it's only a day and a half old. Good. I literally launched it on my birthday, February 12th, my 40th birthday. So I like time's ticking on.
Cheers to you.
I gotta get Fat Man D out of time. Gene Scotter, help. Gene Scotter, Get on a Kickstarter and help Fat Mandy get out of time. Because if I stay here, I'm going to start breeding with the locals, and none of you want that. I'm telling you, there is something in the DNA. It's messed up.
We've got to do it, and we will. We will. Get on 5, 10, 20, 25. Goes down nice, doesn't it? Because it's not only good for you, but it's great for Pittsburgh to get that representation out there to Europe. And I think that, you know, when your show hits Paris, London, I mean, it's going to catch like wildfire.
I hope so. I sing in French. I sing in Spanish. I sing in Danish and Hebrew and a little bit of Italian, a little bit of German.
So what is Hey Fat Chick in Danish?
I'll need to get my translators on that.
All right, what is it in, let's see, French? Because French is, you know, so elegant. So. Or give me any of
them. Hey, la dame rose. Hey, la dame rose. Vous avez... So, oh, man, I got to... I just memorized this like by rote. It's like how I did my bus mitzvah. I just memorized all the Torah portion. I didn't actually understand what any of it meant. I just could sing it. I could sing you anything. What it actually means may completely evade me.
But it's all in how you sell it, too. You know, I mean, and you have a tremendous stage presence. I mean, for those who have not seen you perform, I mean, it is a treat.
I don't know what you're waiting for.
Right, I know.
I've been waiting for you. I'm here. Je peux chanter à vous maintenant.
Now, you are self-produced as far as the CDs go, right?
Yeah.
So where can we get a hold of these?
On my website, fatmandy.com, P-H-A-T. It's a P-H-A-T-M-A-N-D-E-E. So it's fat as in pretty hot and tempting, and man as in I am not actually, but have a lot of respect for those who are and look this way. And D with two E's, so Fat Mandy.
And we'll put it below on the
.com. Thing. Oh, so, yeah, you have the technology.
The technology.
You can do a lower third scrolling text if you want.
Right.
It's true. I, too, studied at Pittsburgh Filmmakers. Did you study at Pittsburgh Filmmakers?
Or
did you just pick this up because you're smart?
Part of the latter, yeah. part through necessity, too, indeed.
It's true, because videographers are expensive.
Yes, they are.
They should be, because that takes time.
Well, you can see, we have a crew of 20 here today. I mean, that's small,
true.
Considering
you
have Berg Vivant.
Yes, it's true. To your gaffers and your best boys.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of those.
Yeah, your clapper loaders. You do have a lovely set of clapper loaders.
Avoid the clappers, yeah. Indeed. So, where do we see Fat Mandy going in 10 years, into the future, into the cosmos?
Well, I've already been to the cosmos. I did a show at the Buell Planetarium a couple years ago, so that was pretty exciting in the Laser Dome.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to, in 10 years, my goal is to have my jazz band and the burlesque sideshow performers that I work with, Cabaret Vulgaire. So my jazz band, the Cultural District, and the troupe of performers that I work with, you know, traveling the world and showing the world that we're all one people and we need to be good to each other and we need to stop putting each other down. And, you know, I do a lot of social justice work.
Mm-hmm.
So my message, if I would be said to have a message or a mission statement, it would be that we are all one people and we need to start treating each other with some love. And that's why I like to sing in so many languages, because I really think when you can connect with somebody that way, you know, there's such, Americans have such a deserved reputation in the world, and I think it's unfortunate, but I think we're working on it. I think we're getting better. I hope we're getting better. I believe we're getting better, you know, through the whole social justice movements that are coming up and being heard and being listened to and being discussed. You know, so that's through my art. I like to make the point that music is beautiful no matter what language you sing in. That's why I want to travel the world.
Beautiful. And we'll help you do it in there.
And take my art with me. And take my crazy, crazy, beautiful, strange freaks with me. My jazz musicians and my friends that dance on beds of nails and in buckets of glass and breathe fire and have feathers and frills.
So is that strange now then by comparison? I mean, what do you consider strange?
I I don't know. I like everything as long as nobody's getting, like, hurt or exploited.
Mm-hmm. So you what's know. What's like the weirdest gig you've ever played? And again, weird is relative.
Weird beautiful or weird just like, ooh, I probably shouldn't do that again.
let's go with that, ooh, I shouldn't do that again.
Okay, well, I definitely probably should not engage in ramen noodle wrestling anymore.
Now, what was your level of engagement with this?
Oh, I produced it. I formed the Interplanetary Ramen Noodle Wrestling Foundation with my friend Mark Hanneman, who used to be a... He graduated with an MFA in theater arts.
And this is what he's doing with it now.
Well, no, now he works at a big theater in Washington, D.C., but...
Was this in Pittsburgh that you did this ramen noodle?
Oh, yeah. We
How did I miss this?
The Lava Lounge, I thought it was the 90s. Were you...
I was around. Oh, yes.
We did the Lava Lounge, and then we did our huge mayhem, when we did a huge pit of, like, 500 shucked bricks of ramen in the Oakland Beehive. I mean, Scott and Steve at the Beehive would let us get away with anything. They let me put fire-breathing robots in that space once at the Oakland Beehive. I had this crew from San Francisco called Seamen that I had met at Burning Man and invited them to come to Pittsburgh, and they had, like... giant machines that, like, had these big claws and shot fire, and they had, like, a fire shower, and they wouldn't let me get in the fire shower because they said it was too fat and that my dress would burn. And I said, well, that's fine.
To say nothing of, you know, scalding or, you know, third degree burns.
No, it was fine. I took off my dress and just jumped right in, and they were very kind, though. They sprayed me down with water while it was going, so I just got a little charred.
That is a courtesy.
I have to find the pictures. That was a delightful evening. That's an ooh, strange, beautiful. I would love for that to happen again. Not so much the ramen noodle wrestling.
Well, what went south with the ramen noodles?
It's just very. First of all, you're wrestling in food, and there are starving people in the world, so that's offensive. Second of all, it gets everywhere. It's so greasy. It's like, if the product is half grease, it gets every crevice, everywhere, on every sound cord, in the speakers, in the monitors, on the stage. Like, I was the janitor of the Beehive at the time. That was my job. I was the Beehive janitor and the Oakland...
That was a bad year to be their janitor.
Beehive janitor and the Lava Lounge janitor. I was a janitor for like 10 years. And so it was my responsibility to clean this up. And it was just like thick, you know, wheat paste oil mixture everywhere. So just for that alone. That, and then when I did the cornmeal pancake eating contest with Hungry Bill. Are you familiar with Hungry Bill?
No.
Oh, as an Amish fetishist. I'm surprised.
Oh.
He has a whole Amish thing going on. He's not actually Amish. He's a lawyer in Munhall. But he has his musical act as Hungry Bill, and he challenged me to a cornmeal pancake eating contest, and he got in a bike accident the day of the gig, and he still showed up, and he ate me under the table. I could only eat like 18 of the pancakes, and he ate like 22, and I fell over. I couldn't do it.
What can we do for...
I didn't poop for days. It was awful.
Oh my God.
It was terrible, and I was going to belly dance classes like 2-3 times a week, and it was like Friday night, and I was at belly dance class and crafted, and we're working on the triple shimmy pop pop, and I was
pop,
just
pop,
like,
and
and I had to go. It was terrible.
We need to cook up something that you and I could do for like a charitable event. Like,
sure.
I don't know if an eating contest would be the best, but you know, something, you know, a synergy of energies. Brian Edward, Fat Man D, a blank off for blank charity. I think that could be fun. We got to think about it.
It has to be somebody that's not going to, you know, be offended that we're having like a fun, ridiculous thing. But I guess there's that ice bucket challenge. People are used to.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm doing some serious benefits coming up that I'm really excited about. I don't think us wrestling in ramen or eating cake or cornmeal pancakes would be at all appropriate.
No,
wait,
we can just do that socially.
Yeah, socially.
And then we'll write a check to the whoever.
Oh, okay.
So what do you have coming up as far as your charitable?
Oh, I'm working with a new group called Pittsburgh Artists for Social Change, mm-hmm. and we're small right now. It's just me and my sister Elizabeth Kibowitz, who is a hip-hop producer, and our friend Dr. Holly Hood, who is also a hip-hop producer and double PhD. She's a teacher. Mm-hmm. And my roommate, Christiana D., who is a poet and a arts administrator and singer. And we're working with a dancer named Lita DeVargas, who's in the Cabaret Vulgaire show with me. She's a phenomenal dancer. And we're working with Brian Dresky from Dresky Entertainment, to produce two evenings at the Altar Bar. One is going to be on April 23rd, and the other is going to be May, I think it's the 21st. But the one in April I'm taking point on, it's going to be a Unity concert, and we're going to have all kinds of genre of music. We're going to have blues and jazz and reggae and salsa and working on some rock bands and just like a totally beautiful multi-genre evening of music. All the dough is going to go to the Afro-American Music Institute and other musical programs in the community. And Brian's absorbing all the costs for producing the event at Altar Bar and the promotions. So the money's just going to be split evenly between our groups that we're giving the money to. And he's going to start up a ticket fund where 50 cents from every ticket sold at the Altar Bar is going to go into a sustainable fund for these musical programs. Because Afro-American Music Institute in Homewood has been around for 30 years. And they produce some of the finest vocalists, some of the finest musicians. You know, we have an incredibly strong jazz community of just righteous musicians who know their stuff and can play all the songs in any key, any feel, with power and grace. And it's because of groups like AAMI with Dr. Johnson and his wife Miss Pam. So we need to support, especially they're cutting music and art from so many schools. Like it's just like
very true.
It's all disappearing. Like I am blessed because I was able to take cello in grade school and junior high and high school and go to a Saturday program at Peabody called Centers, and I was able to have musical programs and art programs, and all of these things are just drying up and the funding is going away, and you know these instructors have to go to multiple schools and can't dedicate the time to the projects. You know, I work with a great group also I should mention called do you know Creative Life Support? Do you know Liz Berlin at Mr. Small's Theater?
I haven't met her. No.
She sings with Rusted Root. That's what she's famous for. But she also owns Mr. Small's Theater with her husband, Mike. And I work with her in her Creative Life Support nonprofit program called We Rock. And we teach children who are in the foster care program music. So every Monday I go and work with these phenomenal young people. And we write songs, and they're recording them, and they're going to be performing at my Unity concert in April. So if you want to see some of those performers.
So we have a lot of ways to connect with you.
Yeah.
In person, online.
Yeah, fatmedia.com. There's links to my Twitter and to my Facebook and to my YouTube. I have an email section, so if you want to book that Mary Kay party, or if you want to buy a CD, you can buy them all. I have four discs out, and you can get them all on the music link. There's that one is my most recent. Then before that was Torch of Blue. Before that was Merry Christmas, Hanukkah Wanza, Volume 1.1.
Yes, yes.
Where I sing holiday tunes in Pittsburghese, Spanish, German, Hebrew, French.
Beautiful. I mean, it is a staple of any holiday music collection.
It should be. My song, It's a Pittsburgh Christmas, is something I will possibly regret for the rest of my days.
And something Pittsburgh will enjoy for the rest of theirs, I think.
Got play once. Randy Bauman played it once on the DV morning show. He did, 6:40 in the morning, 3 or 4 years ago.
And never again?
Nobody called. I don't know.
Oh, well, it was early.
You know who plays my music? Mike Canton on the Soul Show, YEP. Okay. He plays my music, and Zombo on WRCT, he'll play my music. And Kevin Amos, who does the Soul Patrol Sunday morning program on RCT. So I get some play on the two soul shows in town with Mike Canton and Kevin Amos, and on the Weirdo Music with Zombo.
Well, I'm glad to know you're getting play.
I'm getting a little play. Oh, yeah.
You know, it was on my bucket list to maybe produce music, but they've got this new show on Fox, Empire. Have you seen it?
I have.
And I've started watching that, and you know, I'm like, I think
it's nothing like that.
Well, I know. I'm like, maybe I'll check this off my bucket list, and you know, I don't know if it's for me, you know, because I once felt that I did have a future.
Do you feel
that
you're going to be a hip hop producer?
I did once feel that I had a future in rap, yes, but you know, after seeing what really goes into it and all that, I think, well, I might be better suited for other pursuits. I don't know.
I was told once that the book of hip hop was not for me. To which I say, I'm going to do whatever the heck I'm going to do, and you're going to like it.
There you go.
And if you don't, it doesn't matter, because I can't control what you like and don't like, and I'm not going to worry about it because I have plenty of people who do like it, and it's okay.
That's true.
I'm well adjusted. I have a therapist. I recommend you do as well.
So, Fat Mandy, we salute you. On behalf of Pittsburgh, cheers to you and all that you do, and all the best in Europe.
Merci, monsieur.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.